we move into the Word this morning, praise God for His presence being with us. Where two or three are gathered, He's there. Oftentimes it's just a little harder for us to get our minds wrapped around it, but He's there and He's ready, amen? He's here with us, praise God. The heart and goal of this series that we're in right now, the purpose of it all, of the whole thing, is to cure the false assumption that your story is boring and common and doesn't matter. Because we've all been fed that lie before, right? I'm just me. It doesn't make any difference who I think I am or what I'm trying to. I'm just me. It's no big deal. And that's what Satan wants you to believe, is that you're just you and it doesn't matter. And we're here to cure that false assumption. That's a lie. Because God's been working with normal, average, everyday, ordinary people doing supernatural, extraordinary things for centuries now, for thousands of years now, right? Through His Word, we see these are just humans like us. And that's last week while we majored on our human condition, right? We talked about humanity and how intricate and how amazing we are, this wonderful blend of spiritual and natural that comes together in humanity. We're a spirit that's housed in a physical body. It's a beautiful thing that God has done to give us this chance to live life like this and to have a life that matters, a life that counts for eternity. So we talked about that, and we talked about how sin invades that, the sting of sin last week, and realizing the fact that when we sin, it's not just, oh, I just made a mistake, everybody does it. No, sin brings death. The sting of sin is not just average or just something we should be comfortable with or used to. The sting of sin is something that we should run from, right? The sting of sin is something that we should avoid by being the set apart for a holy purpose, holy people that God has called us to be. I'm supposed to take my life and it's supposed to be set apart from this average life to do something supernatural and extraordinary. And that's what God wants to do. That's holiness, is being set apart. I talked about how my lawnmower doesn't cut my lunch meat, right? Because it's set apart for a specific purpose. And we have a specific purpose that we are set apart for. I'm not calling you a lawnmower. I'm just saying we have a purpose, right? How many of you guys are lawnmowers? I'd mow the lawn. Okay, sadly true. Anyway, we have a holy a purpose that we are set apart for, that God has placed us that way. And when we are living holy unto Him, we're set apart and we live that way, we avoid the sting of sin. We avoid the consequences of death that it brings. It's nasty and it's evil and it doesn't want anything good for you and it doesn't turn out well. It is vicious, extreme stuff. So today, we turn our attention to another person's story. One that you're probably kind of familiar with. Don't put it up there. Good. Don't put it up there until I say it. I don't know why. It just feels like a mystery, doesn't it? Like, who's he going to talk about today? I don't know. It's the next slide. So if he jumped the gun, he'd be like, bam. And I'd be like, you don't know who it is right behind me, you know? Okay, never mind. Anyway, but we're talking about somebody today. Again, it's not gossip. We're doing good things here. But he has, you know some stuff about this guy. You're probably familiar with a lot of his story. But I want to show you a passage that you may have never noticed about him before. First, we'll talk about the stuff you know about a little bit more. Like that he has his very own book of the Bible that he was authoring, and he gets to share his story. He's credited with conquests in battle that have no equal. There's nothing like it. For instance, one time he prayed and the sun stopped for a day. I'm getting too detailed right now. You know who it is, some of you. Okay. Another time he led his army to victory by having them yell. They yelled, and that's how the battle was won. He is the one who was told personally that that God would never leave him nor forsake him. That phrase that we understand, he will never leave you or forsake you. This is the guy that God originally said that to, okay? Now, we apply it to us, and it's true. We can do that because God is the same with us, absolutely. But this is the guy that God actually said that to. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what we told him he'd do. So we can apply that, but God said it to him. Now, his name is the Old Testament Hebrew equivalent of the New Testament name Jesus. His name is Joshua. And Joshua was far from average. Do you know Joshua's story? What's the story that comes to mind? Battle of Joshua, the Battle of Jericho. My son used to think when he was really small, not this small, but small, when he was little, he thought it was Joshua fit the battle of there you go. There you go, there you go. Yeah, it's Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, right? But we know some of the stories there. Did Joshua stop the sun in Joshua chapter 10 when he prayed and the Lord put the sun on hold for a while and elongated the battle for an entire day? Did Joshua stop the sun? No. Who did? God did, right? Joshua didn't have that power personally, but guess what? It's his story. It's in his story. He interacted with the supernatural God. And part of Joshua's story is like, hey, guess what? One time I prayed that God would make this battle continue so that we could finish it off, and God stopped the sun. Like, that's his story. That is not average. Has anyone seen the sun stop lately? No, it's not common, right? It's not a normal thing. I'd love to see science explain that. But anyway, did he wipe out all the different ites in the book of Joshua? There's the Amalekites and the Jebusites. So all the ites took it on the chin. Did he do that personally? No. Was he involved? Is that part of his story? Yes, he led the army. He was involved in that process, but he didn't do it all by himself. It's not that he's the one pulling this off. God is pulling this off, and it's part of Joshua's story. In fact, they couldn't even take military credit for it because sometimes God just sent hornets into the region and the bugs got so nasty that the people that lived there took off. So they're like, look what we have, an army of hornets. All right, look what we did. Yeah. So you can't take all the credit because God's involved in that, but it's part of his story. Did Joshua pile up the Jordan River so that the Israelites could walk into the promised land on dry ground? Did Joshua do that? No, but he obeyed the Lord and gave them direction, and it's part of his story. He was leading in that moment that God showed up in such a supernatural way. Joshua was a human. He was a living, breathing Homo sapien with fears and doubts and options and choices, just like you and I. Did he knock down Jericho with his voice? No, but guess what happened? That day that he yelled at the wall of Jericho, it fell. You're like, well, Pastor Steve, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. No, I want us to understand that we are a part of something bigger than just us. I can't just take credit for all those things, but I do get to recognize that they are a part of my story that gives glory to who? It points people to God. It says, look at my life because look what God has done. Not look at my life because look how pretty I am or how amazing I am. Neither one, right? Look at God because of what he's done in my situation. And it's amazing when he does those things supernatural and way out there because there's no confusion on who caused it, right? It's him. He's the one taking care of those things. The walls did fall when he shouted in obedience. And that's a key that we see in Joshua's life. God told him to be strong and courageous several times in the first chapter of the book of Joshua. Several times in that interaction with God there, God tells him to be strong and courageous. I would have liked to hear those phrases too if I was the guy who stepped up after Moses died. Right? Like Moses, not a guy like Moses, the Moses, the 10 plagues, watch out, stick over the Red Sea. That guy said, okay, it's all yours. I'm out of here. What? Okay. All righty then. Yeah, God would have had to reassure me with a little strong and courageous speech as well. How about you? Be strong and courageous, young man. I'm with you. I will never leave you or forsake you, right? So God told him to be strong and courageous, and guess what Joshua did? He was strong and courageous. He obeyed. God told him to shout and the walls would fall. Guess what Joshua did? They shouted and the walls fell down. God told him to step into the Jordan and it would dry up, and so they did. He simply obeyed. All these amazing stories we know about Joshua come in the second half of his story, the last half of, or later half of his life, after Moses died. We see Joshua is a fully trained and totally prepared leader who is trained for what God would write through him, the story that God was going to write through him. But I wonder how he got to there, right? We often see the public side of everyone, but what about the preparation time? How did he get to that point? God just didn't randomly pick a guy out of the crowd when Moses was about to die. Joshua has been training for this for a long time, right? Joshua and Caleb were the ones they sent into the land to spy it out, and they were like, we can do this, and everybody else was like, no, we can't. And they were like, yeah, we can. And so there get to be the two that go. Joshua and Caleb got to see the promised land. And everybody else in their generation died in the desert. They are not part of the average. They are far from the average because they took the Lord at his word. They obeyed. They built a relationship. They persevered through this. And we're going to talk about prayer and presence. It's so key in the development of you and I spiritually, in the life that we live and what God wants to accomplish through us. The battle is won through prayer. It's not through willpower. It's through prayer. It's through God shaping us in our times in prayer. We look at the prequel or the backstory, the preparation time of Joshua's situation. I would not have wanted to follow Moses as the leader. I would not have wanted to be in that situation. How about you? Anybody? Like, yeah, I can do this. Moses did it. Sure, why not? That's a tall order for certain. But the Bible tells us that he was Moses' right-hand man. He was his aide. He was allowed to go places that nobody else was allowed to go because he was Moses' right-hand man. He was with Moses in training for the first half of his life. These well-known victories of Joshua were set in motion long before he ever entered the battlefield of Jericho or with all the otherites. You understand that? The preparation, the foundation was built in him long before he ever entered those battlefields. And it was done in the power through prayer in the presence of God. I want to look at Exodus chapter 33, an account of Moses in the tent of meeting. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to there. If you don't want to, we'll put it on the screen for you, and you can follow along that way. But Exodus chapter 33, Moses is going into the tent of meeting. And tells us a little bit about this tent of meeting that he had. It was a tent that was set up outside the camp for God to meet with Moses, or for Moses to meet with God, either one. Whatever happened, they both met there. When Moses would go in the tent, the glory of God would come and descend on that place. The Bible says that God would talk with Moses as a man speaks with his friend. And guess who else was there? Let's look at the text and see. Exodus chapter 23, beginning in verse 7, is what the word says. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Verse 8 says this, and whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to his tent. In verse 11, the Lord would speak with Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, and here's the one we probably didn't notice for a long time. But then his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Huh. So Moses goes and meets face to face with God, talks with him as a man does to his friend, and what resulted in Moses' life? Some of the greatest miracles and powerful presence of God. His face literally glowed. There's all sorts of stuff that you can talk about Moses and his interaction, his connection with God and how God used his ministry. God shone through Moses so directly. And we see that, and that happened because God would, he set up a tent of meeting, and he would go and meet, and the Lord would come meet with him face to face, and they would talk, and they would hang out, and they would impact, and God would impact the life of Moses. He would prepare him. He would teach him. He would converse with him. He would make him the man he needed him to be. And we find out here in this passage that Joshua was with him. And when Moses would finish, Joshua would just stay. I don't know of a better way to get prepared to be like Moses than to just do exactly what he did. I don't know of a better way to get prepared to lead God's people than to talk to God about it. I don't know of a better way for you or I to step away from the average than it is to enter and stay in the presence of supernatural God Almighty. And that happens through prayer in the presence of God. This probably is one of the simplest one-point sermons that you're ever going to hear today. You can look to King David. You can look to Daniel. You can even look to Jesus and also to Moses and Joshua. It was prayer in God's presence that made all the difference. Prayer in God's presence will take you far from average. This might be a little-known passage. It's not quoted and mentioned a lot, but it means everything. If you want to have a life of influence, a life with a story that has power and presence of God in it, it's going to come if you invest yourself in prayer in God's presence. God will make you what he needs you and desires you to be. God will show you how this ought to be done. God will show you what parts of you don't need to be parts of you anymore. He'll have permission to speak freely, and so will you. With prayer in the presence of God. Without this foundation and preparation, none of the other accomplishments are even possible. It's just not possible. Joshua didn't do any of that stuff, ridiculous things that happened. He didn't do any of those things until he had invested in this time in God's presence. God's presence is what brought those things about. The power of God in their relationship is what brought those things about. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, but without hearing from and obeying God, those walls would never have fallen. Joshua could have took his sword at him all he wanted to. It wasn't going to happen. He could have yelled all he wanted to. God's the one that made it happen. It happened in relationship and obedience that happens through prayer in the presence of God. He learned the voice of God a long time ago. Right? In those moments, in those times in the tent of meeting, he learned the voice of God long before he had to have an exact word of God in this moment. He invested himself in that. We are a very instant culture, are we not? And that kind of flies in the face of relationship, because relationship is not instant. Relationship takes time. Relationship is genuine. It is revealed and it's grown through investment of time. When these stories took center stage, he just kept listening. He didn't start listening. He didn't go finding the voice of God. He was already engaged in conversation and just continued to hear and respond to the voice that he was already engaged with. The battle is won in prayer. The leader is shaped in God's presence. Now, let's be honest. The average person doesn't have time for prayer in God's presence. If we just schedule our day the way we do it, if we're busy about our business, doing the things that we have with our responsibilities and our likes and dislikes and special interests and hobbies and whatever else, we just generally don't, we're not going to have time for it. And the fact is that we're not going to have the story we should have if we don't invest ourselves in prayer in the presence of God. You are short-circuiting the story that God has for you. And so am I, if we don't take the time to be found in his presence so that he can download into us what needs to be taking place. Too many things to do, too much on our plates, not enough time, bunch of responsibilities. As we continue chasing our own tails around this earth, right? Just trying to get a better this, trying to get a little more of that, trying to cover this base and do that. As we're doing all these things, we don't have enough time, and God is left out of our mix. I heard an old quote from an old preacher who used to spend an hour a day in prayer, and he told one of somebody in his circle, he said, "Man, I've got so much to do today. I've got so many things that are weighing on me. You know, I can't do 1 hour of prayer today. I've got to do two. Because I got so much that needs to happen." Now, I'm not about trying to relegate a clock on you. That's not the deal. But if I want to have a relationship with somebody, I point at my wife because I really want to have a relationship with her, I've got to spend some time. It's got to be a way to learn her voice, a way to learn what she's into and what she's about. And that's got to become important to me, right? Otherwise, we're not in a relationship. You're like, "Well, you should know each other by now." Yeah, but how did it get to there? Because we sat on the phone like teenagers, or as teenagers. "What are you doing?" "Nothing. What are you doing?" Right? We just spent time together, right? On a phone that had a cord on it, by the way. Anyway. Saw one of those on a movie the other day. I was like, "Oh, yeah. Phones used to have cords. How about that?" It takes time. God gets left out of our mix. Here's a revelationary statement that I learned from a guy. He's a missionary. His name was Otto Wagner. He's a missionary in Philadelphia, a modern-day missionary. And we went there, and we did a missions trip in Philadelphia, and we got to partner with him for a day and see the ministry that God was doing through them. And he kind of poured into us a little bit, and he said a phrase that I'll never forget. He said, "When we work, we work." That's deep, huh? Ooh. "When we pray, God works." What's going to get more done? You're like, "Well, Pastor Steve, we've got to work." You're talking to, I fully, I'm a let's do something kind of guy. I get that. I fully am that way. I understand it. But we have to recognize the fact that when we do stuff, all we get is what we've done. But when we pray, we get what God can do. When we involve him in the process, we get the dividends that he can afford us instead of just what I can accomplish. Joshua could have started chipping away at that wall of Jericho, right? But instead, he prayed and he talked to God, and God said, "Tell you what, step back, I got this, just yell at it." And they yelled at it, and God did. When he prayed, God worked instead of just Joshua and the Israelites chipping away at the wall, right? So when we work, we work. Yes, we get results, and yes, we get payout from that, absolutely. But when we pray, God begins to work in our situation. And that's where the incredible, far-from-average stories happen. It's when God is involved in that. Joshua lived that reality, and he took it straight to amazing levels that are far from average. Prayer is one of those topics that's much better practiced than preached, just to be honest. I could stand up here and say, "We should pray all day long. We'd probably get better if we just shut up and started praying," right? So we're going to get there in just a moment. But I'm just going to finish up with a couple of thoughts here, and then we're going to have a chance to really dig into God's presence together. If you think your life is stuck in average mode, I want to encourage you to go to the tent of meeting. Go to the tent of meeting and spend some time in prayer. Talk to God about it. See what he has to say. If you feel lost in the crowd, then go to the tent of meeting and stay a while. We're so guilty of wanting instant everything. You don't learn patience instantly. It doesn't happen that way, does it? You don't learn someone's ways instantly. You don't get good at golf instantly. You get Arnold Schwarzenegger huge instantly. It takes development. It takes time, right? Joshua put in the time praying in God's presence. So listening and obeying wasn't new for him. It's not that we earn it by charting hours, and this is key. It's not that we earn it. It's that we learn it by heart and practice. Our time in prayer is not that we're getting brownie points with God, and he's like, oh, you did this many hours of prayer. That means I have to do this many things for you. That's not the case at all. We're not earning it through prayer. We are learning it. The longer I'm with him, the more I become like him. The longer I'm around him, the more I begin to talk and act like him. Have you guys seen that go the wrong way with somebody before? You get around the wrong bunch of people, you start using the things and saying the things that they do, right? It's the same way in the positive direction. The longer I invest myself in him, the more I learn who he is and what he's about and how I should live my life every day. Let me ask a couple questions as we respond today. When is God supposed to train and shape you? When is he supposed to train and shape you? As a youth pastor, I know over the years, sharing with other pastors, kids pastors as well, same kind of situation, where we wanna impact these kids' lives, and we have them for like an hour a week. That's hard to do. It's just hard to do. To overcome 160 some hours of something else with 1 hour of this, and some kids live in a sad, frustrated, broken reality, and I'm trying to teach them good things, and 160 some hours of the week they're learning other things other ways. That's hard to overcome. It's that time principle of we have to invest the time, because your life is going to be bombarded with what you should spend your money on, what you should spend your time on, what really matters. Those things are going to be told to you by the news, by the media, by all sorts of other people, by whatever political party thinks they need your vote. They're all going to push and tell you what they'd like to shape your mind into believing about the issues, right? And God is over here going, hey, can I just get a minute here? Can I just get a minute here? When is God supposed to train and shape you? Should he have to make an appointment? Should we have to squeeze him in somewhere? I don't want this to come across guilty. I just want it to be truth in our hearts that we all own and respond to. If you need salvation today, forgiveness of sin, a new start in life in Christ, come forward and we'll pray. We'll pray with you that you can have those things. If you need a fresh touch of far from average presence of God, then come up and join us here at the tent of meeting this morning and pray. If you need healing or help in some way, come pray with you this morning. If you need the power of the Holy Spirit to fill your life and to baptize you so that you can be a witness to the world around you, then come forward, join this tent of meeting, and we're going to pray. And that's basically the altar call I want to ask you to do. Jimmy's going to play some music just to kind of kill the silence in here besides our words of prayer. But I ask you to join me this morning. Rather than talking about prayer for a really, really, really long time, I just want to invite you to join us at the tent of meeting today. And let's experience the power of prayer in the presence of God. Let's do that today, and then we'll close up in just a little bit.